Hey, my sexy, lovely, beautiful audience. This is Scott Brennan here. This is a very special episode of the podcast. Joining us in the podcast in just a few minutes is Captain Wild Bill from Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch. Just an awesome guy. Real down to earth, real hardworking dude. You know, he's got a real good outlook on, you know, his fame or his career in life. So please give it a listen and please let us know what you think. Okay, but real quick, let's talk about a couple of the sponsors. We got a whole bunch today, and we cannot be happier to have them involved in the podcast. First up, our longest sponsor, okay? They've been with us for months now, and that is Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F Nation Apparel, okay? Wake up, live free. It's an up-and-coming clothing line and basically represents ones pursuing their goals and dreams, just like us, man, making a podcast, talking to Wild Bill, you know? It's only a dream if you don't pursue it, okay? Wolf Nation, lots of different things coming out. You know, we've got some things in the works. Check out Wolf Nation on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, at @WolfNation_Wolf. Website, WolfNation.com. Go over there and say hello to Richie. Tell him Verbal Shenanigans sent you. And order a shirt, goddammit. They're awesome. High-quality stuff, all right? Love it, love it, love it. DementedBrewing.com. You know we do a lot of alcohol and beer-related things on here, and Demented Brewing fits right in. Very cool guys, entrepreneurs. How can you not love this, guys? Located in Middlesex, New Jersey, they generally feature 16 beers on tap, okay? And every week they tell us what they got coming up. Okay, first off, every Sunday they pretty much have a new beer, okay? They have a new single hop Amarillo IPA called Forbidden Fruit that was just released yesterday. This week, they're going to be releasing Litha, a single hop Citra Wheat. Okay, they also have Orcas Bottle Release coming up for their Legion members this Sunday. That's a Scotch Ale aged in McKellen Scotch Barrels. Oh, I will be there, and I will be partaking in several of those. But, you know, Demented Brewing, go to DementedBrewing.com, check them on Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff, because they're worth it. They make great beer, and it's supporting local New Jersey craft beer right on your doorstep. Manskirt Brewing, another really close friend of the show. Manskirt brings high-quality craft beer to Hackettstown, okay, Hackettstown, New Jersey. They got a historic bank building. Go in there. You can check out Joe Fisher, who is the proprietor and head of the company, in his skirt. Yes, his man kilt. Okay, they do a lot of classic beers. They got to do a lot of different things. And here's what they got coming up. So the Beer, Barbecue, and Bacon Festival on May 21st. They're going to be there with three beers, plus their collaboration beer with Two Ton Brewing. Awesome! So go to manskirtbrewing.com. Fantastic bunch of guys over there and delicious beer. And you'll be seeing them on the podcast soon in just a week or two. So we're very happy to work with Manskirt. All right. Bringing us to Trivia Revolution. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. They bring the best of trivia and craft beer together. So all that, Demented, Manskirt, things like Beach House, River Horse, Ramstein, Cricket Hill, just to name a few. Trivia all over the state of New Jersey. We just did a Verbal Shenanigans trivia night with them. It was awesome. So each week you can win a brewery gift card. Even if you do not win, you can still win it. So even if you're the dumbest guy in the room, like myself, okay, you can still win. Luckily, I host it, so I can pretend that I know the answers to all these questions. Go to Trivia Revolution. Check them out on Instagram and Facebook for the bonus item that can give you extra points, okay? Awesome group of guys over there, too. So we got new sponsors, too. New sponsors. You got to love new sponsors, okay? Sponsors I believe in. We only work with people like we love. You know, we did all the DraftKings and the Audibles and stuff, and it's just a bunch of BS. Why not work with entrepreneurs, people who make things, okay? First off, my man Derek Schomer, you can listen to him a couple episodes back. But this podcast is brought to you by AwesomeDrinks.com. If you use the promo code VERBAL20, okay, you'll get 20% off things like craft cocktail syrups, barware, bitters, and that coupon code expires in June 30th, so you got a month and a half to get out there and buy some awesome bar stuff. You got a home bar, you know, go get it, make some kick-ass drinks for the ladies, okay, or grandma, whoever. But yeah, they're a really awesome product out there, and check out his videos, Common Man Cocktails, okay? Finally, this week, we bring in a new sponsor, okay? Are you looking for custom free shirts or hoodies for your business? I know we are. We made a couple, but we're looking for a second run. Want to show off your team pride with lanyards or pens featuring your logo? Order custom quality custom promotional items today from our sponsor, Pinpoint Promotions and Marketing. Visit them online at pinpointmypromotions.com or call them toll-free at 866-584-0601. 866-584-0601. Be sure to get 10% off your whole order, okay, if you enter the promo code shenanigans, okay? We cannot be happier to work with all these guys. And that's about it, people. Enjoy the class. I can't even speak. That's about it, people. Enjoy the podcast with Captain Wild Bill.
What up? This is Clean Rock One. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right. Okay. Back. Back.
There
you
go.
Like Steve Berman.
Boomer. The impossible has happened.
Yeah, I mean, the impossible did happen this week. Mets pitching is
Three home runs
in the last couple games. One by Bartolo Colon.
Sexy, man.
I'm wearing his shirt currently, man.
Did you see the guy who had to get a tattoo because it happened?
No.
I think I brought it. Yeah, I saved the article right here. I guess one of those general guy things. If Bartolo Colon ever hits a home run, I will. And I will turn around to show it to you. We can put
yes.
it on the verbal shen-
That's kind of a bad tattoo.
Yeah, it's like a caricature of him versus like...
Yeah, but it's not even like a good caricature. His face kind of looks...
Yeah.
I mean, like, his face is naturally kind of...
Chubby.
Weird.
But
it's definitely...
I'm not saying it's a lifelike... drawing of it, but it's kind of cute.
Yeah, man. Bartolo Colon hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Noah Syndergaard hitting two home runs. So
it's a year of the miracles, man. Leicester City winning Premier League.
It's pretty huge.
Bartolo Colon hitting home runs.
Being
fingers
awesome.
Crossed, Sixers.
Yeah, so your Phillies aren't as bad so far.
They're good. I don't see them being in it. Like, everybody's getting super excited. But it's one of those, they're not as bad. The pitching is there. Obviously, we have no hitting whatsoever. I'm basically sitting back going, Howard, please hit, like, 220 so we can trade you. Carlos Ruiz, keep hitting home runs so we can trade you. Get some more prospects.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you do.
Go back next year.
You want any young guys to start to develop and whatnot, and that's really it, man. We've had many years like that, so I know the feeling. So anything positive is like, yeah, woo!
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're back. It's good to be back. I feel like you said before, when you came to the door, it feels like it's been a month. And we really only did one show, like, kind of here. We did two on location, and then we did one in between. But we are back now again. So
back in our own domain. You know?
Yes, back in the basement with the dog humping your leg and jumping on the table and all that fun stuff.
That was the original lyrics to that Aerosmith song. I'm back in the basement with the dog humping your leg and then doing the podcast. And,
Yes.
Yeah.
So, how's your? So you got new glasses on here?
Well, they're technically old glasses. I keep procrastinating getting the contacts and the usual glasses. I think I gotta just get them out, just completely stop using them because they just started ripping up the bridge of my nose. So I'm going with the third stringers that I've had. Probably this is the first time I've regularly used them in like 15, 20 years. So
the Dommers?
The JDs. The JDs are out.
Mike posted a picture the other day of him in his like third string glasses. I'm like, I really like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing you got going for you. And then I posted
had the same idea. I went on Google to look for it. I'm like, oh, snap. And you put yours up before mine. And sadly, I'm sitting back like, oh, he's pretty on the ball in this one.
Bastard. But yeah, it's good to be back. We got a big show today.
Hopefully.
Big show. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see at 7 o'clock. But in the meantime, we're just coming off. I did the first Verbal Shenanigans trivia night the other
Comedy
night,
trivia
which
night.
Was strangely nerve-wracking at first, just to make sure it goes all right. And there was a lot of writing involved, a lot more than I kind of thought. Like, you know, at the beginning, I took some bits from the show and then some other questions, and I realized I had about, like, 11 questions that I really liked, and I needed, like, 20 plus a couple categories added. I'm like, wow, I need, like, 9 more solid questions. And they all... I wanted to make sure they all had an answer too, so it wasn't just like completely subjective.
Yeah.
So overall it went pretty well. There was like 13 teams playing, and they booked us for another one.
Ooh,
so
I think the crowd seemed to really appreciate it. They had fun. It was a nice change of pace. It was still a game, not one of those subliminal, well, you should know, blah blah blah. But
it was Cinco de Mayo, so I think that added to like people having fun and you know. So, yeah, it was pretty good, and I bought a bunch of, like, silly prizes and gave them out. People were getting into that. Like, the one guy was wearing the dinosaur hat I gave him, and the one guy had the whale oven mitt, and I gave out a pool noodle, and I think you got princess duct tape.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Which is good. I'm sure you've used it by now during the week when someone's in the trunk.
Well, I mean, I am wearing the JDs, so.
You are wearing the Dommers.
It's like, as I take the person up, they're like, oh, old school, love it. You're so retro.
What's next, a clown? But, yeah, it's like you're a normal guy during the day, and then you put the JDs on. It's like a change of pace. But
you know, when I sit back and want to relax murdering a person, I like to, you know, not have stuff in my eyes. I like to go casual.
Yeah, and you like to be able to see. You know? You want to see the gory details.
Yeah, I mean... It's still, you know, business-like, so if I have to go on to a conference call in my bloody clothes, I'm still looking very well if I have to go to, like, a video conference.
Right, right. So, yeah, like, from neck up, you look good. You FaceTime, there's, like, a dead body
below
you. Is
that static in the background? Yes.
Yes. Not the scream for help.
But, That's the television. Let me just mute him right now.
All right, Berlu. It's close to guess time.
Ooh.
Guess time!
We got a guess. We got a guess. He is the best because he's our guest.
But yes, I'm very, very, very excited about this one. You know the show Deadliest Catch, right?
Of course.
Of course. Now, I watch the show a good amount of seasons. Now I tune in occasionally. It's kind of become like a staple on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
And it's definitely inspired like all that other programming, like all the gold digging and everything. This was the first one, but...
The original show where it's just like, if you first just propose it, like say 15 years ago, Scott, let's follow crab catchers. Like, why?
We're going to watch people catch crab?
Yeah. And now... Just to the point where anybody who has a job by rule has a reality series now.
But in a minute, calling in is going to be Captain Bill, Wild Bill Rakowski. And he has, like, become one of the faces of the franchise. Like, there's Captain Sig Hansen, there's Wild Bill, there's the Hillstrand guys, and... It's
There's
a show.
Captain Morgan.
Yeah, Captain Morgan, Captain America. But Captain Bill's going to be...
Captain Kangaroo.
Captain Bill's going to be calling in. I am really excited because this guy is, one, he's got a huge following, and two, I just really want to talk to someone from in this world, you know? So
you could talk to me.
It's you are not interesting, and you don't run a boat. You've probably been fishing a handful of times.
I got a hollowed-out canoe... I can talk to you from.
Anyway, Captain Wild Bill is calling. All right. Hello, is this Captain Wild Bill?
It is, Scott. How are you? It is Scott, right?
Yes, this is Scott, and this is my cohort here, Michael Berlu.
Howdy, Captain.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Doing good, sir. Yourself?
Real good. Don't believe anything you see on TV. I'm a really nice guy.
First off, Bill, thank you so much for popping on. I really appreciate it. Thank you to your, I don't know what you call her, but Kim has been wonderful during the whole process. I remember I'd contacted you months ago, and we'd just been communicating over the I don't know, probably 2-3 months on when you would get back and whatnot. And she's been great organizing all this. So first off, thanks a lot to both of you.
You bet.
So
where are you guys calling from? I don't recognize the area code.
We are in New Jersey, Woodbridge, New Jersey.
I got you.
So where are you sitting right now?
I'm in Pittsburgh. I just did a big fundraiser for a medical supply company at a friend's seafood restaurant. We had a big king crab dinner.
King crab dinner,
ironic.
Still
not sick of that stuff, huh?
Not sick of crab at
all,
huh?
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh Emergency Medicine Foundation. They take medicine and they provide it for tragedies and floods and, you know, major problems. They get medication together when people are in need. Pretty cool operation.
That's awesome. So where were you? I know you just got back recently fishing. So were you up in the Bering Sea or were you somewhere else?
Actually, a couple weeks ago, I was in Guatemala sport fishing. Are you talking about that?
Probably. I mean, I know you had just gotten back and were going over your schedule and whatnot. So you were sport fishing.
Yeah, actually, I just finished, I don't know what day it was, the end of March. We fished, finished up our Baradai. Apelio and Baradai, and then I was invited by the Minister of Tourism to go to Guatemala to sport fish, and we did some promo stuff to support the tourism industry about sport fishing and bringing some awareness to Guatemala. They're trying to imitate Costa Rica and nice. Generating some money in the country, you know, with fishing and tourism. So it was a great trip. We caught a ton of fish and nice bunch of people.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, I get you have been on Deadliest Catch now for how many seasons?
I think six or seven. I'm not real sure. It all blends together. It seems like only yesterday.
Now, obviously, I've
crab fished since '79, though, so I've been at it as longer than anybody on the show.
Right. I was going to say, like, did you ever, you know, in your wildest mind think that one day, you know, you'd be recognized throughout not only just the country, throughout the world in certain places for being a fisherman, being a captain of a boat?
Well, it's kind of like they used to, you'd tell them you're a crab fisherman, they'd spit on the ground and say, stay away from my daughter. Now they introduce you to their daughter. It's all changed in the way they look at this stuff.
So now you started, are you from Alaska?
No, I'm from Pennsylvania. That's why I'm here in Pittsburgh. It's kind of the home base, and people from Pittsburgh are, you know, we're pretty good with our sports teams. We carry a real close love of the teams, and over the years, my mom lived here, and I've been coming back and forth. And there was a young kid that went up to Alaska, and he fished, and his family is one of the big seafood brokers in town since the 1920s, and he wanted to branch out on his own, so he did this restaurant, and he's a really cool guy, and he likes to sport fish. So I said, hey, let's do some promotional stuff. Let's get a fundraiser together, bring a little notoriety to you. We'll have fun. We'll raise some money for a cause. And it's the second year we've done it, and they've already booked a third year. So it just it's a lot of fun.
So how did you end up actually starting crab fishing? Like, you know, you said 1979, 80. Where did this all start from?
Well, it's been a question that's asked a lot, and people that really follow me know the story, but I was playing pool with a guy in Seattle, and he had a pocket full of $100 bills, and I said, are you a criminal? He said, no, I'm a crab fisherman, and which is kind of synonymous, but I said, well, you're an idiot. If you're making that kind of money, I want to do it. And it took a while, but I worked and did what it took, and I ended up on a boat, and the first captain I had ended up being the godfather of my two sons, and wow. I've been there ever since. It's been a great career and had its highs and lows, and it's danger and the good parts and the bad parts, but we're still kicking.
Now, I read up you were going to go into like business administration, yet and then something happened where you wrecked your father's car, and that's what kind of led you into the armed forces.
Well, yeah, my dad was an ex-Marine, and he was part of the juvenile board. I don't know if you know what that was. If you do, you're probably as bad as I was, but it's a group of guys that figure out what happens to somebody under 18 if they do something wrong. And so my dad was pretty mean, and he had a brand new Buick Deuce in the quarter, and it was homecoming weekend, and he threw me the keys, being, you know, I hadn't been driving that long, and one thing led to another, and I ended up taking through a cemetery and blowing up a bunch of tombstones and hitting a tree, and it didn't even have plates on it yet. So I skipped school on Monday and joined the Navy to get out of town so I didn't get killed by my dad.
That's pretty amazing. So I guess when you started crab fishing, you must have started at the very bottom, right?
Actually, no. Before I went in, I had the mechanical background of being a marine electrician, so I never really had to be the greenhorn. Oh. I never had greenhorn wages and never did greenhorn work.
Oh, nice.
Well, I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm smarter than the average guy.
I don't know. Pirates and
the very blue collar.
Oh, really? How the Penguins doing?
New Jersey
doesn't have a hockey team because you put all your ice in a glass.
Hey, we got three cups behind us. We're all right.
I'm a Flyers fan.
Yeah. He's a Flyers fan. Come on.
I got you.
So you're obviously spending time between fishing and whatnot. How much time per year now are you spending out on the boat, out at sea?
Oh, 5.5 months, 6 months. I've done as much as 10.5. Wow. Last summer, between the end of crab season and the beginning of crab season, the end of March till the end of September, I was in 35 cities doing promotions for different charities and attending NASCAR events and sport fishing tournaments and just general tomfoolery. So I am currently beginning my friends, I'll call it the summer tour, and it kicks off here. I go from here to New York, from New York to Charlotte for NASCAR. Then I go to Alaska for a week to kick a boat out of town to get it ready to salmon tender. Then I go to Phoenix to pick up an event truck that I put together. Then I go to Vegas to do a shoot with it. And then I end up going to Panama to fish for 3 weeks. And then beyond there, I need to take a breath and figure out where in the hell I'm going.
I'm going to Staples after this interview. So.
Wow. Wow, you got to pick up a new binder?
Yeah, you know, running around like crazy, man.
Life is not. It's a crazy life.
Well, you know, there's a short window for this. And I do a lot. I do breast cancer, winter, spinal injury. My one that I really like to do is take a kid fishing, try to get kids away from the video console, get them out on the water, whether it's a lake, a stream, a pond. But, you know, let's get out and do some stuff. It's like fond memories I had when I was a kid. And once the show's over, I figure I got about a year of recognition, then I'll turn out like Gary Coleman. Nobody will know who in the hell I am.
So, like, Deadliest Catch came out. I don't even – what season are they on now? 10, something like that?
12. 12.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's been on from season 6 to now.
Wow. So, I remember watching the show. I mean, I started as like a documentary or something like that, and it just really like captured the imagination of, you know, I watched it for seasons, now I tune in here and there, and I always loved the idea that the production value of the show, but, you know, from a captain's perspective, what is it like having a crew constantly on there? How real is it? Like, what do we see? You know, is it an adjustment to have people just with cameras while you're trying to do work too?
Well, as a captain, you're up there by yourself, so you end up spending more time with these guys if you fish long enough than you do with your regular family. So you either become very good friends or you don't like each other at all. And a lot of these guys are very talented. You've had everything from war correspondents to nature guides to do river rafting. These guys have pretty cool credentials,
right?
And to have a Deadliest Catch cameraman certificate hanging on your wall, it's a good plus. So they want to do a good job, and it's a competition amongst them to get the best footage and the most action shots. So all in all, they do a hell of a job, and I like having them on board for the most part. Occasionally you'll get one that thinks he's more important than the job that he's filming, and they get to be a pain, but there's only been one or two of those, you know, since I've been doing it. But they're there for a reason. It's the reason we have the show. Mm-hmm. I used to get upset about some of the stuff they did, but if they weren't there, we wouldn't have a show. So you kind of, it's become second nature now.
Now, how rough is life out there? I mean, we've seen the TV show. Obviously, we see the dangers on it. What would you say is like one mundane thing that we wouldn't even think about is like very complicated to do out there on the sea?
Well, one thing you can't see on TV is cold. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being tired and cold, and when you're cold, every time you, you know, hit your knuckle on something or get your finger pinched, it hurts a lot. It hurts worse. And that's one thing you can't depict on the show. But, you know, we try to provide high-quality food and a lot of it, and guys can go without sleep, they can't go without eating. So you live like a dog, but when it's over, you have a little money in your pocket and you have, you know, consecutive days to enjoy it when you're off the boat. A lot of jobs, you know, like a guy gets, you know, a week or 2 weeks off, and, you know, you wait all year to have a little time off. With this thing, you go up and you bust it for a while, you work hard, you live like nobody would even imagine. But when you get off the boat, if you're on a good boat and you had a good crew, you end up with some cash in your pocket. And if you want to travel, if you want to just spend quality time with family, children, you know, be involved in things, it allows for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you watch the show and you know, you see the perspectives of different ships. And one of the things that's kind of cool, you and a couple of the other captains, you know, some of you are multi-generational fishermen. You have your son on board and whatnot. Now, is that like a blessing, or is that like a hard thing to juggle too? Like, it's got to be great to work with your son.
I don't know if you've ever worked with family. It's hard. Yeah. Commercial fishing is something like being a firefighter, law enforcement. It has a tendency to go generation to generation. The problem on the boats is, as you can see, when you have rebellion or back talk amongst the crew, it's usually between the family members.
Right.
Because most crew members wouldn't dare saying some of the stuff that your kid would. And it's great in a way to pass it on. It's great to be, you know, hand us down from generation to generation, but sometimes you just shake your head and wonder, you know what, if I didn't have my kid, I wouldn't be listening to the half the grief that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So there's good parts and there's bad.
Is your kid leaning towards going to be a captain one day?
He actually is in the final days of finishing his first stage of a captain's license in Seattle. He's taking tests this week. You get his 100-ton license, which it's an entry level, but actually it's not the bottom step, but he's gotten the bug. You know, it took me 15, 18 years to work in Alaska and live in Mexico, where your dollar goes further and the weather's good and there's a lot of fun stuff to do. He figured it out in about 3. So to continue that lifestyle, he's going to have to, Alaska's a good place to do it. And the same thing I was just saying, you know, you work hard, you get your money and you have time off. And,
yeah,
you know, you couldn't do it with another kind of job.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was in Alaska about 4 years ago. I went on a cruise out there, and even stopping in the different ports and whatnot. You guys are like rock stars out there, man. Like a lot of like the, you know, the touristy stores have like shirts with people's faces on it, or the name of ships and whatnot, like that. You know. I always found that like very, very interesting, because here's like a group of, like you said, blue collar, hardworking, you know, sometimes rough around the edges type of guys. And here are people, you know, everyday people buying shirts and watching the show. And like, it's almost like they know you. That's got to be a very fascinating kind of thing.
You know, what's really strange, if we get a lot of airtime, but we are just a hardworking, we'll call it a blue collar bunch.
Right.
Where if somebody was in feature films and they were at a really nice restaurant with a bunch of people and having dinner, most folks wouldn't even consider coming up and saying hello and right. wanting to take. But it doesn't matter with us. I don't care what you're doing. They don't. Nobody hesitates to come up. And what they usually say is, I don't really want to bother you and be that guy, but could I get a photo? Would you sign this for Aunt Ethel? And it's, you know, you got a, you know, a piece of steak on your fork and they're right in the middle of it. You know, it's like. And you can't turn them away, because without fans, we wouldn't have a show. So that part of it can be a little tough. But again, you know, it's awesome that we have the fan base that we do. And it's just part of it. I mean, we signed up for it. So if anybody complains, stop it. Because, you know, we signed on the line to do this.
Sadly, not a lot of flashing considering it's Alaska. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
There's too many layers to get down too many the layers. Boobs.
Coat.
Almost there.
So, Bill, like, you seem like, I just, you know, just watching some of your YouTube videos on site, you seem very connected with your fans. Even like the first thing on your site is like, while Bill loves, you know, connecting with fans and whatnot. Now, first off, that's fantastic, especially nowadays with, you know, the Twitter, the Facebook, the YouTube, whatever. But do you see a difference? Like, you're obviously very, like, just by hearing you talk, you're very, you know, supportive of your fans and you understand. But do you see the opposite? Are some of these guys, like, standoffish? They don't really want anything to do with the public? Or,
well, you know, I've only been on, you know, 6 years or so, and the guys that have been on for 12, they've experienced this for twice the time. And I'm actually getting to the point where sometimes I just shake my head, and there's always that one guy. You get 150 people that tell you this is great, you know, enjoy watching it. And it's the three clowns that come in and they chastise you, and they, you know, they tell you you're doing everything wrong. You're a lousy dad. You know, I'd never work for you. If I see you, I'm going to kick your butt. You know, it gets a little old sometimes, you know. And what I've been doing lately is the person that does that, I used to just fire back at them and tell them what I really thought of them. But now I just kind of look at everything that they have behind them and things they've said previously.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, if somebody gives you a hard time, you'd be surprised at how many of these people say nothing but negative. We kind of call them trolls.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, it's the troll. Well, I don't know. Everywhere. It's everywhere. The troll train. Yeah, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. No matter what it is, like, you know, if you're a comedian and you're whatnot, it's, oh, I don't like your material, blah blah blah. And it's that ability. Like, even at work, we call it email balls. Like, people will say anything through a computer or through a comment, but, like, you know, like, in someone's face, it's like they won't say a word. You know, I don't know. It's just, I think that's what one downfall of the internet.
The internet muscle.
Well, it's real prevalent with me because I am, what you see is what you get. And I'm old school, East Coast, no appreciation trophies, and it's what it is, and I will not change for that. And I get a lot of people that come in and, you know, I'll get crap. I've got longer hair, and I'll get guys give me a hard time. When you look, you know, they're bald. You know, they're giving me a hard time. Get a haircut, you jackass.
Yeah.
Well, you're bald, buddy. Get off my back. You know, and it's, you know, somebody's like, oh, you're, you know, they're questioning this or that, and they got a picture of a kitten, you know, instead of their face. It's, you're a phony. You're nothing but a phony. And then you look at their thing, and they got a kitten climbing a tree or something. It's like, oh yeah, you're the real deal.
Just looking for a reaction.
Well, I used to be really bad at it. I'd come back after a couple tequilas and a beer, and I'd sit down and I'd start going through it, and I took it personal, you know, and I'd fire, and it just started to blossom, and now I just kind of get rid of them.
Now, when you're out on the sea, have you ever caught, obviously you're going out there for crabs, what's the weirdest thing that ever came up on the net?
You know, we don't get a lot of that. We have pots, and they actually have to work their way in. We get some strange fish and eels and things, but that's funny. We get that question a lot, but it's not like we're a trawler where we're, you know, we're pulling up old bombs from World War II and stuff like that. You know, we have a pot that has tunnels, and the whatever it is, it has to either swim in or walk up the tunnel and fall in. We don't get a lot of the weird stuff.
They once pulled up a box of New York Rangers Stanley Cup champion shirts from that were never sold.
Yeah, I think it was a discontinued lot, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The kids from Africa even rejected them. They're like, no, we're not that desperate. No.
I'm not wearing this shirt. Are you kidding me?
Put it in the bottom of the Bering Sea. Let the crabs have it. But so, Bill, you when you're not fishing, what are you doing? Like when you're taking breaks?
I sport fish.
So for what?
I sport fish.
For swords?
I do blue water. Blue water. I do billfish, you know, sailfish, marlin. We'll catch some tuna, dorado. Like I said, I did Guatemala 3 or 4 days after I got off the boat from Dutch Harbor. And then third week of June, I'm going to go down to Panama. And then from Panama, I'm going to fish. I think we got something going in North Carolina. Then I might do the White Marlin Open there in Maryland. And it's just stacked up.
So you still love fishing?
Oh, I love it. It's the coolest thing in the world is when somebody catches their first fish, the look on their face, you know. It's, and even the coolest thing when you catch about, I don't know, 10,000 of them, it's still fun.
Yeah, the one time I went deep sea fishing with my family, all of them caught stuff except me, you know. I was a bummer, man.
I have like the opposite story. Me, my dad, not a fisherman at all, just the, you know, pure car guy, electronic guy. Not a fisherman. We go on this trip for his like company and deep sea fishing. It's blue fishing, and all these dudes like with fish tattoos and these crazy tackle boxes. Me and my dad just throw, you know, like the bait the captain gives us, and my dad's catching like 23 fish in a row. All these guys are trying these different techniques. Like, oh, got another one. Oh, got another one running around the boat. Like, he caught the most fish that day, and I won, like, the largest fish pool. It was like all these guys, like, this guy had, like, a marlin sleeve on his forearm. He's so pissed off at us.
So what part of New Jersey are you guys in?
We're in Woodbridge right now, which is north central. I don't know if you know.
I was on a show the other day in L.A. with one of your icons, Snooki, and she was being a little difficult. Hey, when she got up, it was on live TV. When she got up to walk on stage, she caught a heel and did a face plant on live TV. I jumped up to help her.
Half of New Jersey probably jumped up to cheer. We don't like her around here.
Yeah. That's a black guy in New Jersey.
I know. I was kidding. I didn't really jump up to help her either.
Say, who does Pittsburgh have that no one likes? I can't really think of anybody.
No, there's nobody.
Sidney Crosby.
When I moved west when I was a kid, I went to San Diego, and you know the Pittsburgh mentality and the way a guy works, you know, talking to girls and everything. I can tell you this: it didn't work in San Diego in the mid '70s. I went out there with a Pittsburgh attitude, and I immediately lost my accent and changed my MO.
Yeah, well, when you ask a girl, "Hey, girl, you want to see my steel?" That doesn't work in California.
I got a girder in my pants.
I never used that line, but I'm glad I didn't. It would have been even worse.
That's a freebie. Go for it, my man.
It's all yours. You can use it now. You're welcome. So, I know you've probably been asked this 10,000 times, but I got to hear from your mouth. Where did the name Captain Wild Bill come from?
Actually, everybody thinks it's from fishing. When I was a kid, we were pretty crazy, and the list is long. You know, we don't have enough time. It's not just like one incident, like somebody went, "Hey, that was pretty wild. Let's call you Wild Bill." It was just kind of a lifestyle.
That's so ambiguous. It could be anything. It's
like I know. I can't spill the beans on that.
So, if you were
that's your limitation, isn't it?
If you were to watch, say what happened after I crashed my car into that cemetery.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was a tad wild.
That's Wild Bill enough. But if you do you actually sit down and do you watch the show, or like, I don't know, a lot of times with like even like these podcasts we do, like I don't even listen to them all the way sometimes. Sometimes I listen to them months later. Like, do you sit down and watch the show, and do you enjoy what you see, like from an outside perspective, or you're like, oh man, they really just took bits and pieces and made a story out of it?
Well, in the very beginning, we all did it. We all do it. And we kind of worry about how it comes across. But, you know, without editing, they make highs and lows. They make they got to have a story. And we sign up for it. So I do watch occasionally. But if I don't watch, you know, we all have social media on our phones. I know how they portrayed me because my phone will light up. I'll have mothers from Oregon telling me what a dirtbag I am. Or I'll have... guys from Massachusetts high-fiving me on the thing. I'll know I did something good. But you can pretty much tell the temperature from social media.
Oh, no, the guy with the cat face profile pictures chiming in. I must have been an asshole tonight.
Exactly.
Now, exactly. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm... It's all you.
Oh, so you we see, like, it's amazing that through the show and stuff like that, we learn like the terminology, like even like the word greenhorn, like, and what they do. And you find people like coming up to you pretending they're experts on crab fishing that never fished a day in their life.
I get it on social media all the time. I've done this for almost 40 years, and you wouldn't believe how many guys are smarter than me on the couch from Oklahoma.
I'd go 2 degrees latitude up north. No, that's where the good crabs are at.
Yeah. I knew that son of a gun wasn't going to catch anything there. I told my wife that I don't think he's going to catch anything here.
There's nowhere near as good as Oklahoma green crab.
Mm.
Yeah, you got it, man. We call them couch captains. You know, they're sitting there, and they've got more DNA in the cutoff sweatpants they have than a laboratory at the Mayo Clinic. And they're asking their wife to get them another Schmidt beer, and they're you're going, boy, that somebody's don't know what he's doing. I could outfish him in a day, any day, you know. And it's like, oh my god, I want to just shoot these guys. But that'd be a great season.
To have a show, you know, of Deadliest Catch, and I'll get all these quote unquote experts and like, go at it, my man.
Send them all out on boats.
Where's the start button on this boat?
You know, one of the funniest things is I'll be in some pub or tavern or bar somewhere, and there'll be a guy sitting on the end of the bar, and he's got a Carl Malden nose that's all veiny, and he's chain-smoking, you know, and he's like 60 pounds overweight and coughing, and he'll look at me and go, hey, you know what, I know I can do that shit. I want to be your new guy. And it's so far-fetched, you laugh, and then they want to fight you. Ugh. Like, you don't think I can do it? I'll kick your butt right now. And it's like, oh, fuck. It's definitely one of the byproducts of the show. Everybody can knock it out.
Yeah. You know, I had one question that I was thinking about before. Now, I know
you've had a lot of questions.
Well, yeah. That's my job.
I know.
Yeah, Scott, this interview's been weird since you've been asking a bunch of questions. I'm just throwing it out
there. I'm still working on that non-question interview.
Dog.
We could do that, like, sit in the back of the car and see who talks first, see how your show's going to do.
Well, that's actually probably get way more listens than if we did that. We could play word association all day.
Yeah.
But you guys, you refer to, and it's been referred to on the show, like before, I guess, like, I don't know if you call them sanctions or laws. Like, it was kind of like the Wild West back then. So what is different now than it was before? Was it unlimited crab you were allowed to catch before, or you just could get as much as you
wanted?
No. Like, how did that work?
It's a misconception. Well, what it is now, it's a quota system. They've looked at history, and everybody is awarded, this might sound calm, a percentile of the catch. And then the government comes in and decides how many pounds we can legally harvest and sustain the industry, and they apply that percentage to the total number of pounds, and that's what you can catch. It used to be they gave us a total number of pounds, and everybody went out, and we kept track of what we caught. And then they decided when we caught a lot, or when we caught what we needed, and they'd tell us we had to shut down. So if you were really on them in the old days, it didn't matter how much quota you had, there were million-dollar seasons in short periods of time. And now it's all through a quota system where you have so many to catch. You know what you're going to catch before you leave the dock. And I'm a smaller boat, and we don't have as much quota. And I get a lot of stuff all the time. People are like, you're always in the middle or the bottom of the list. Because that's how much quota we have to catch you, monkey. If you really want to know, I'll tell you before I go out there where I'm going to end up on the list.
But see, if I was captain,
it's one of the byproducts of the new system.
If I was captain, I'd be in the top three every single time. You know what
I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I do? I put bait in those boxes to catch those crabs.
No way.
Yeah. I thought about it all night last night.
Revolutionary.
I know, man.
Well, I get the question, how deep are the pots? And I'm like, they're heavy. They're on the bottom. You know, there's a lot of good answers for some of the stupid questions. And, you know, I had one gal I was going through an airport. She said, she was older. She said, Captain Bill, how are you? I said, I'm fine. She goes, I love the show, but your boat has a lot of problems. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, when they show you, your alarms are always going off. And I said, well, hon, we're working on that. We're trying to get everything fixed on the boat.
Yelling at the camera, don't show this.
That's great. They're always going off. Your boat's just always loud. It's like an alarm going off all the time.
Oh, I forgot to fill up before we got out here.
So, Bill, you've obviously seen, you know, I did have to draw to the show is obviously how dangerous the job is. So I'm sure you've seen loss and all sorts of different things happen. Amongst the fishermen and the captains, is that just recognized as part of the job? Does that ever get easier, or is it always tragic? Like, I always wondered about that.
No, we're getting a little better at it with the rules and regulations and the way the system's set up, but it never gets any easier. I mean, in the beginning, I've done this a long time. I started in the late 70s, and that's when we were losing a lot of guys, and that's kind of where the name of the show came from.
Right.
It's not like this is really a tough job catch. We had the highest death rate per capita than any other job on the planet. So, and because of it, you know, I yak a lot, and I'm front of the cameras and crowds, and if somebody, there's a funeral, people, oh, Bill, say something. I can't. I'm really bad at funerals, and I've seen so many people go before their time. I'm fortunate, knock on wood, I haven't lost anybody on my boat, but no, it never gets any easier. It always sucks.
Now, you've been all around the world, all over the waters. If somebody's out there who's like a huge fisherman, where is the one place you highly recommend? That's the vacation spot. That's where you want to go if you want to have a whole fishing vacation.
You know, there, it depends. Do you have a lot of dough? I mean, Costa Rica is beautiful. I worked out of there for a couple of years. I just did Guatemala. It's a lot of fish, and it's a lot more basic. I'm going to Panama. I've never done Australia. I've been all, obviously, I have a home in Sonora, Mexico, so I'm on the West Coast, Sea of Cortez. You know, a good answer is Costa Rica. I mean, you can live in a one-star or a five-star. You can spend as much as you want. I wouldn't say as little as you want because it's becoming a little bit expensive, but it's, I don't know, it's a nice spot.
Bill, I don't want to take up all your time, so I just got a few more, like two more things here. First off, you seem to be involved in a lot of great things now outside of fishing, like you were talking, cancer charity, spinal injuries, wounded warrior stuff. And that's really awesome to give, you know, cause it's kind of like giving back. And what I asked you at the beginning, like, did you ever imagine, you know, that stepping into a fishing boat, all of a sudden you'd be able to, you know, even just like this, we're talking to you because of a show. Did you ever step back and go like, oh my God, like what a wild ride this is?
Well, when I initially got hired, I've told this story numerous times. You know, Discovery said you're going to have a voice that people will listen to. You know, you can stand in front of a crowd, they'll actually pay attention most times and, you know, use it to the best you can. And it's been a fun tool. You know, it's I do a lot of good stuff. And like I said, I just did a fundraiser a couple of days ago, and I got a bunch of other stuff coming up here. And it's it is pretty surprising. You know, it's, we've come a long way from being, you know, people would move their stuff to a different table when we'd come into port. But now sometimes you can't get a breath in. You know, everybody has so many questions.
Yeah. So if someone wanted to, like, say hi to you or check you out or see what's going on, where should they go?
You got the Facebook, Twitter, you know, you got CaptainWildBill.com, you got Bill Wachrowski, my name, and you got Captain Wild Bill's fan page. And actually, bars and restaurants, you know, you run into me occasionally there, you know. Incarcerated in certain places. Be surprised where you run into me.
Who's your guy in NASCAR, as a side note?
You know what? Oddly enough, the first person that introduced himself to me and took a real interest was Dale Jr. And yeah, I mean, he's got the largest fan base on the planet. I like Truex. Truex, you know, his family fish there. They do the clam operation there in New Jersey.
Jersey boy.
I kind of coined the phrase the clam mafia. His family has been great to me every time I've seen him. Martin's awesome. Boyer's cool. You know, he'll go out of his way to say hello. I mean, most of those guys are pretty hip, surprisingly. And they love the a lot of them watch the show on the planes and the buses. And,
awesome.
You know, they sometimes are referred to as NASCAR at 8 knots, you know, because people like to watch for the crash. But that crowd's pretty good. It's a lot of fun. They have a crazy job.
We a couple months ago, we got to go out and do a podcast with Trevor Bain, and we got to ride like water slides with him and like all this other stuff. He was a pretty cool guy too. So I'm not a NASCAR fan, but he's gotten me, you know, meeting someone and learning a little bit more about it. And my co-host here is very into it, so I've been slowly starting to pay attention a little bit, and I have someone to root for because I got to meet the guy. It's nothing but a gentleman to us, so it's pretty cool.
And
they're all crazy. Their sense of humor when they're off, it's a high stress job, and when a lot of them have a really good time when they're not driving, and that's kind of what I've come to find out. You know, they do crazy stuff like, you know, paintball, and they're always doing something exciting when they have time off to blow off some steam. And I've had a beer or two with a couple of these guys. They enjoy their time off.
Yeah,
they're good people, man.
All right, Bill, I would love to talk to you all day long, but I know you got different things to do. And first off, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. This policeman wants to put the handcuffs back on me. I got him to let me loose to finish this interview. So
he must have
got to go back into the cuffs.
We'll do the second half of it between glass.
There you go. Don't put your hand on the glass or whatever it was on the glass. That's not going to work.
We're clear.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, it kind of sounded like it never hung up. Wow, that was awesome. That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good man. Good man.
Yeah, definitely cool, man. That's what I love about, like, you know, we've interviewed a lot of these, like I was talking to you right before we went on the air. Like, we interviewed the guy from, two guys from Ink Master, which is a pretty popular show on Spike. We interviewed two guys from Bar Rescue, you know, and every single one of them has been, it's so cool to hear them be like people, you know, because sometimes on the show you get clips and you get the little drama with the music and the, you know, the intensity and the commercial cuts. Mm-hmm. It's so cool to like see these people have actual purpose and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like even like Aaron is, like who we interviewed, it was a great interview. His his girl, like I sent her a message on Facebook because like I want to get like another tattoo next time he's in the Philly area and he might be able to do it.
Oh, so sweet.
Which would be kind of cool. And like she like liked something that we put up on the Verbal Shenanigans page one day. So it's just cool to see the like when these little things don't go to someone's head or like, you know, because in the end, like he said, oh, I got about another year of notoriety and that's it. I'm going to be a fit.
He can easily sit back. I mean, they're sending him to NASCAR events and different charities. He could say, but I'm the man. This is awesome. And hey, can we take a picture? No, I have no time. I'm so important. Blah blah blah. But he just gets it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it really is so important to like connect with your fans because nowadays if like
that's why I call Dom every afternoon.
Yeah. Dom, how are you?
Connecting with the fans.
Well, in our case, connecting with the fan.
Yeah.
but yeah, you know, like nowadays. It doesn't take much for people to swing the other way and hate you, you know, like in the public eye, like a couple bad publicity things, everyone hates you, you know, like, so it's so important to give feedback, but it's so, I just love when people stay themselves though, and they're not kissing up to the fan, you know, like he was like, even though I'm like, hey, Captain Bill, what's up, man? Great to have you. Like, yeah, man. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Like, it's great. It's not like, oh, you're so welcome. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But I really enjoyed the interview and, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back for a little bit.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, you know, lots of things to talk about here. I don't know. We'll do a little news here.
All right.
A little news. Right. See what's going on. Everybody's favorite Stand Your Ground man is back in the news again. Mr. George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
This guy is such a dirtbag, man.
He's a douche.
You know, like, whatever you felt about that, the, you know, the situation that happened, I don't know if you heard what he's doing now.
I did.
He put the gun that killed Trayvon Martin up on the internet for auction.
Well, I mean, it's just laying around. I mean, not doing much.
Now, it says, whatever. Maybe he's got, like, a... court. This is like, to me, this is like when OJ put out the book, like was gonna put
if I did it.
It's like the same thing. And it says apparently in the description it said, I'm honored and humbled to announce the sale of an American firearm icon.
See, that's kind of, if you're gonna get rid of the gun, don't promote it's the gun.
It says the firearm for sale is the firearm that is used to defend my life and end the brutal attack from Trayvon Martin on 2/26/2012.
Mm-hmm.
Many have expressed interest in owning it and displaying the firearm, including the Smithsonian Museum in Washington, D.C. This is a piece of American history. Like, come on, man. This killed someone.
You know, the space shuttle, the Fonz's jacket, a murder tool. Yeah, yeah.
It just, you know, like, whatever. If you think he's innocent, fine, you know, but, like, now it's just like, now you're going to make money off of a kid that's dead, you know, like.
Even if you were defending yourself, don't you sit back and go, maybe I shouldn't rub it in the parents' face?
Right. Or what do you think is going to happen as soon as someone finds this out? It's going to be mayhem in the news. And, you know, it's just mayhem. Like, apparently there's something off with him, too, man. Like, if you just listen to him speak and stuff. Like, obviously, if this is his personal decision, there's something off. Like, to get that kind of attention, it, obviously nothing must bother him.
Like, no. That people literally think he's, like, the scum of the earth.
No. You know, maybe, like, some abusive husband should, like, sell the ring that's imprinted on his wife's forehead.
You know, like, what's next? They're going to sell, like, the hoodie, you know, like Trayvon Martin's wearing. Yeah, it's just, like, I always found that weird when people want, they want, like, parts of, like, murder scene or serial killers, like, notes and stuff like
Hitler
that.
Hitler stuff.
Yeah, like, even when I was down in New Orleans, there was a museum, like, it was the Museum of Death.
Okay.
And it was, like, we were thinking about going, but, like, even, like, sometimes, like, you know, all the, like, serial killer notes.
Was that on Laramie Lane?
Yeah.
They renovated that. Those guys are so awesome down there. episode 101. Even though I'm not supposed to do callbacks, but so.
Well, callback, yeah, whatever. But yeah, there was like a Museum of Death. It had like weapons and notes and suicide notes. I was like, it could be cool, but then it's kind of morbid too, you know? Like,
it's one of those, if it was like one thing to look at, I might look at it, but to say I'm going to walk around the hall of this, and you're down there with your girl, it's like one of your first major vacations. It doesn't seem like the whole romantic thing, you know.
Hey, babe, you want to go see Kurt Cobain's letter before he blew his head off? You know, I don't know. But I don't know. This George Zimmerman guy, like I said, some people think the stand your ground thing, whatever, you know. But I don't know. The more that comes out about this guy, the more I have this feeling that he's just one of these douchebags that buys a gun because he wants to use the gun. Like, I get that feeling. Like, yeah, maybe it was a combination of, you know, Trayvon Martin doing something wrong at the same time and finding this douchebag at the same time. So, like, you know, like, instances collided, but...
My thought process and whole thing, the second when he called the police and saying, hey, there's something suspicious, and they said, okay, stay away from him, and he started tracking him, that's when I don't care what the situation is, you provoked it.
I just... You know, like, and like, I don't care. You want to use the gun now to pay the lawyers you probably needed to pay, like, for that? I don't know. Just, I really can't stomach that guy anymore. Like, I can't believe he's back in the news again. But
Scott, I'm selling Dahmer's fork on eBay right now.
Not the glasses yet?
No. These are keepsakes.
But on the other end of... So I found this story on Vice. A 90-year-old lady seduced and killed Nazis as a teenager. So, yeah, pretty interesting. She, 90-year-old Freddie Overstegen. There's a name for.
Mom, so it's a female.
Yeah.
With the name of Freddie.
Freddie Overstegen.
Okay.
She's one of a few women that were active in the Dutch Resistance during World War II. And actually, know a decent amount about the Dutch Resistance because I read a book with my class for many years about that. There was like a resistance fighting in the Netherlands, and in Denmark, and they tried to like help Jews to safety into Sweden underneath like fishing boats and stuff like that. So they did it all the time. But it says when Freddie was 14 years old, a gentleman visited her family home to ask her mother if she would allow her daughters to join the resistance. No one would suspect two young girls of being resistance fighters, he argued. And he was right. The Overstegen sisters would flirt with Nazi collaborators under false pretenses, then lead them into the woods, where instead of a makeout session, the men would be greeted with a bullet.
It's somewhat cool, but somewhat sounds like a plot to a horror film.
Oh, I think it's awesome.
It's definitely awesome. I mean, they kill Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, like, they lead them into the woods, and there's someone just waiting. Bah-bah! Yeah.
Oh, this would be so good.
Yeah. Hanny Schiff went on to become world famous. A feature film was made about the girl with red hair, and she was buried with honors in the presence of the queen. I want to see Freddie on the 4th of May, the annual Remembrance Day in the Netherlands, to ask what it was like to seduce and kill Nazis. Okay, so the guy from Vice said, "Hi, Freddie. I understand we don't have a lot of time for the interview." Freddie Overstegen said, "That's right. I'm meeting some people to play Scrabble at 2. I do that twice a week. You can't let people down if you agree to join."
Just ask the resistance.
Yeah. Do you win often? No comment. What is it like for you to remember the war on Remembrance Day? How do you feel? How do you wake up on a day like today? I do feel a bit of dread, and it's even worse today because I have to go to the dentist this afternoon. Not looking forward to that. Now, here's a woman that, like, could have, like, single-handedly taken out, like, dozens of Nazis, who knows? And she's like worried about Scrabble and the dentist and like, you know, no big deal.
Like when they're going to the woods, you think that she's like small talking to them? You think she has a certain set of turn on she knows the Nazis like?
I don't know, man. Like, you know, I wonder if like at that time you're so young that you almost block it out a little bit. Like it's not like a major impact on your life. But then there's the other thinking, like, it's such a major impact that it could have affected her for the rest of her life.
You know?
She said, what do you think about during the 2 minutes of silence? She says, nothing. I just shut my thoughts off completely. And then I think about the fact that a lot of people have fallen. I remember how people were taken from their homes. The Germans were banging on doors with butts of their rifles that made so much noise. You'd hear it in the entire neighborhood, and they would always yell. It was very frightening. Which paper is this interview for, by the way? It's for Vice, an online magazine. I see you have a computer, so... Yes, but it doesn't get the internet. My children think it's best that I don't go on the internet. This woman seems like a character, man. You know, obviously she's like 90 years old. But.
I kill Nazis and I go on my computer to play Hearts.
So she said a man with a hat came to the door and asked my mother if he could ask us, and he did so, yes, so she was okay with it. Where's your father? Her mother had divorced, which was pretty unusual at the time. She was just fed up one day. We lived on a large ship in Harlem, two A's, but my father never made any money and didn't pay anything for the barge, but it wasn't an ugly divorce or anything. He sang a French farewell song from the bow of the ship when he left. He loved us, but I didn't see him anymore after that. So they went to live somewhere else. They were hiding people in your house as well, you know, like Anne Frank style. They were hiding, we were still living on the boat. We had people from Lithuania hidden in the hold of the ship. See? Yeah. Mm. And during the war, we had a Jewish couple living with us, which is why my sister and I knew a lot about what was going on. Okay. When you were asked to join the resistance, you have any idea what that would entail? No. I thought we would be starting a kind of secret army. She said there were about seven of us. Much later, a Nazi big shot was killed in the same woods, and he was buried there as well. So, this one's pretty badass.
Mm.
She said, what was your role in the mission? I didn't shoot them. One of the men did. I had to keep an eye on my sister and keep a lookout from a vantage point in the woods to see if no one was coming. Okay. And she would say things like, want to go for a stroll? Oh, speaking of captains, did you see Captain America?
Oh, awesome movie.
I liked it a lot.
Insanely good. It's just so hilarious. You just want to, like, knock on the door of those people who made the DC movies.
I didn't see Superman Batman yet, but I didn't hear great things. I still want to form my own opinion about it. But
of course,
Captain America was very good, very very good. I loved the take on Spider-Man. It was nice to see, like,
yeah.
Very interesting. Like, one thing I thought about the Spider-Man thing, like, they're just throwing him right in, like you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're just. But I guess they're going to use...
Well,
the other movie shouldn't be ignored, really. Like, you know, like...
It's one of those... They know the plan. They have the timeline. They kind of know, we got to introduce him. We got his standalone movie coming. I think it's like 2018, 2019.
Is it another reboot?
No, they're going to call it Homecoming. Right. I mean, that's kind of why they didn't do the whole reboot. I got bit by a spider.
How many times can you...
Everybody
yeah, and Alyssa Milano who is Aunt... Yes, yes. Whoever made that call was
Aunt
like...
Aunt May.
I was like... I thought Aunt May was like this old woman. Like, Alyssa Milano, hell yeah.
Well, they're kind of going to the roots of the comic book because Spider-Man is actually a teenager in high school. It's not... This whole, he's like an awkward 25-year-old going around, and he's quippy, and he's saying all these crazy stuff, and, I mean, that's the Spider-Man I know and I grew up with, and I'm looking forward to the next movie, and it's been a while since I looked forward to a Spider-Man movie.
It was really good. It was campy at the right moments, quirky, funny, serious. Couple adult things here and there, and
all the new ones. Black Panther was awesome.
He was awesome. He was really good.
He's epic.
Black Panther.
I have no backstory in Black Panther. I'm looking forward to his movie.
Yeah, I mean, I have a backstory. Black Panther. He actually originated from the Olympics when he went up on the podium and raised his fist.
Oh,
and then
weren't there two Black Panthers at that?
Yeah, yeah, he was the
he
one
was the
on
gold
top.
Medal one. Yeah. Oh, that's what makes him the superhero.
Right, he's the Black Panther, and what happens is that After that, people got really mad at him, so he had to go in disguise.
Oh, okay.
That'll be in the movie. That'll be in the movie. So,
wow, this is a wild movie. I can't wait to see how Stan Lee does his cameo in that.
You didn't notice
movie.
That how fast he was when he was running? Duh.
Yeah.
He's a track star.
Oh!
I mean,
that's what they call an Easter egg.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I'm a real insider. Like, I'm a real insider. So you know, I get these things. Some people don't get them.
Yeah,
but that was the Black Panther.
I'm looking for the reboot of the Pink Panther, actually. With Steve
I think
Martin.
They've done that. but yeah, all the other characters were good. No one really pissed me off. I didn't see Ant-Man. And I thought, like, he might piss me off because the character to me is, like, a little ridiculous. But he was great, too. Like, just enough of him. And
they do it right.
That was really good. I missed the Hulk, not going to lie. He's, like, my favorite character in these movies.
They said they did that on purpose just because they're like, all right, if we put Thor or Hulk in there, they're just them alone will just beat the living shit out of everybody else.
I just love what they did with the Hulk in Avengers 1 and 2. But I love how basically every movie now is an Avengers movie. This This was an Avengers movie.
Well, I mean, they put up a valid point. Like, they've done a couple standalone movies since the first Avenger going into the second one. And it's always the same joke. It's like, all right, this guy's going to destroy the world. Why didn't the Avengers show up for this one again?
Yeah. They're doing a great job. Yeah. It's cool. I always wonder, like, if I will get sick of it, but they keep doing a good job. So,
yeah.
They made Captain America cool.
Yeah.
And I never liked Captain America.
They went out of their way to make a grittier character, like real hand-to-hand combat to kind of differentiate him from the rest and, like, give a new kind of spin on him.
He's fucking jacked.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that one scene, you know that scene when he's holding the helicopter and his bicep?
That's actually him, by the way.
Yeah. You know he's just showing that to all his... Yeah. You ask people over to watch the movie.
All right, we're good. No, let's take another take.
You know, but you know he's like blaming it on the remote. Like, oh, no, the batteries are dead. It's paused. It's paused. Come on. All right, hold on. Let me leave it. I'll go get batteries in the other room. You guys just look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Gigantic, man. It's gigantic. But overall, I really liked it, and they didn't disappoint at all. And it's cool because they're like making you look forward to all the different, all the different movies. So it's very cool.
Yep, I just gotta figure out which movie I'm gonna go to and drag. But
Suicide Squad, still got that.
Well, the latest I got, Doctor Strange comes out in November, so I do have till the end of the year.
When
to make
Suicide
this
Squad?
That's coming out in like a month or so.
Yeah, I can't wait till you go and drag, and then I'm like, not superheroes.
What?
Villains.
Batman was in there. No, Batman has no superpowers. No, nope. Sorry. Technicality.
But hopefully AJ will hook us up with the drag part of that. We're in the works with that, too.
Yeah.
Berlo, real quick, I just wanted to do, we were on news before. There was something, an article I read. We read two good articles. Well, George Zimmerman, I can't stand him. But speaking of Alaska and animal, do you like penguins?
I don't object to them. They're not like my favorite things.
You're not anti-penguin?
No, nothing I can
think
of.
Do you
think
penguin lives matter?
Some. The males actually lay on the eggs to hatch.
I thought you would find this interesting, because I was laughing. The dark truth about Adelie penguins, that might not even be how you say it, was kept secret for more than 100 years.
Okay.
Okay. So, penguins, okay? There's Adelie penguins, okay? But it says, don't be fooled by their charming appearance.
Appearance?
Let me try it again. Don't be fooled by their charming appearance. Dr. George Murray Levick made his observations on their sexual behavior in 1911 and 1912. It was deemed too inappropriate to be published. Okay? You might consider that extreme in prudish Edwardian England, but even by today's standards, some of it is pretty extreme.
Okay.
Do tell. That hooked me in. That hooked me in. Okay, I'm like, these dirty little penguins. Mm. Ew.
I'm going to look up penguins on Pornhub later tonight.
Penguin Hub. far before the sexual liberation of the 1960s, penguins were ahead of the curve by exchanging in promiscuous sex
between unpaired male and female penguins. Okay, so you say, right. Okay, whatever, they're animals.
Swingers.
They're animals.
Yeah.
Well, because penguins are paired, a lot of different penguins, which is pretty interesting in the animal world. Okay. But, Berlo, you're saying they're swingers.
Yeah.
But they were also records of homosexual sex between male what? Penguins. Okay. But that's not the gross part. That's not the shock in this story.
All right.
Okay. So penguins, you know, they're a little bit of swingers, okay, whatnot. But okay. So far, no problem by modern standards. See, like I said, a little promiscuous, whatever. Mm-hmm. On this Antarctic expedition, Levick also observed, okay, instances. Obi, where are you going? Obi. See you later. Hmm. Okay. Where was I? Okay.
Instances of.
So Levick also observed instances of Adélie penguins engaging in rape, gang rape, sexual and physical abuse of chicks, as well as necrophilia with penguins, some of which had died the previous year.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they live where it's cold, so I guess the bodies hold up.
Levick blamed his this astonishing depravity on hooligan males. What else? We always get blamed. So shocked, he wrote down his observations in Greek so only educated gentlemen could understand it. His code seemed to work, and his work wasn't published until 2012. Here comes my favorite part. In 1998, more penguin depravity came to light when people observed Adélie penguins using stones to pimp out females for prostitution. They also reported that some of the prostitute penguins tricked the males into thinking that they would have sex by performing an elaborate courtship ritual, then run away with their stones. I ain't saying she's a gold penguin.
What?
Unbelievable.
Are you trying to screw the pepper jack?
Dirty penguins, man.
What do they do with the stones after they pimp out their woman?
I don't know, man.
They're like building a little fort on the side?
Look at my stone. But just horny, dirty penguins, man. Dirty penguins.
Was that the plot of Mr. Popper's Penguins?
Yeah, you never saw it?
Yeah, Jim Carrey, he went dark in that one, I guess. Yeah.
So I found that quite interesting. Penguins are gross. Hmm. Penguins are gross. So people who think they're cute and waddling around, just think they're really in the pimp suit and with cane and beating on other penguins and banging dead penguins.
You hear that? Sidney Crosby pimps out his wife.
Yeah, see, I should have said this to Captain Wild Bill. That's not what I heard about all penguins.
He's like, yeah, it's true.
He would have an interesting take on this. But yeah, gross, gross penguins. So, brother, what do you got? What's been going on with you, buddy?
I had an interesting night last night. Yeah, I had to go out and help out a friend, talk her through some stuff. My friend Ashley. Mm-hmm. My girl was working, so I just gave her a heads up. I was out pretty late. And then around 12:30, as I'm driving back, I get a call from work because, you know, I must have had fun at some point and somebody got detected to it.
Right.
And they tell me about a situation. I'm like, all right, that's not technically my department. You got to contact this person. It was actually my guy, Rakesh, who called me at 12:30, and I kind of pushed him through. Then a 12:45 as I'm driving, another guy from India calls me with the same problem. Hmm. And I had to kind of, you know, calm down, like, no, this is not the problem with me. You go to that group. And I didn't mind so just because it was up, but then all of a sudden, somebody Facebook messaged me.
What?
Yeah. It came up, I forget the person, I think it was like Arunth was his name.
Hmm.
And it was just like, hi, Berlu, are you there?
Wow.
And I wouldn't respond because I'm like, well, that's fucked up. That's
way
Facebook.
Overly intrusive.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it was just one of those things, I'm like... I'm probably gonna block him because it's just like I don't talk to the guy anyway. And it's like, well, if you're gonna contact me for work, I'm not gonna.
It was like, bring Baruth has invited you to play Candy Crush.
That was just like the weirdest thing. I'm like, why the fuck are you on my Facebook?
All of a sudden it's going to be like, Valruth, like you came up in one of those quizzes, like, most likely to ignore me. Like,
ignore me. But that was just like the craziest thing. I mean, has anybody tried to do like professional contact you through like a Twitter or?
Yes. Facebook, I've gotten some random requests from parents, other teachers that I don't really care to be friends with. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's definitely happened before. Not as extreme as like from a call to a ding to like they're really trying to get in touch with you.
Yeah, I mean, this was actually, I didn't get contacted on Facebook. This is the second time like it kind of came up on Facebook. Like, this is a while back, like 10 years ago. I was in the middle of a bunch of different projects and stuff and going through things. And then in my work, I am one of the managers from Bulgaria. She said, hey, Mike, I noticed you're posting a lot of funny stuff on Facebook, but I need you to concentrate on this ticket.
First off, she's definitely foreign because she said you were posting funny stuff on Facebook.
It translates well in Bulgaria, my
In
stuff.
Bulgaria, I kill.
Oh, my God. You know, who is it?
My terrible English goes over really well there.
Who's the guy who's popular in France? Does the marathons. Something Lewis.
Does the marathons?
The MS telethons.
Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis, yeah. Like, Jerry Lewis is popular in France. Michael Burr Lewis. I would
say Ray Lewis.
When he helps out in murders in France, they love him. Whoa, oh, there goes another person. Good job, Ray. We will miss you on ESPN Monday Night Countdown this year.
But yeah, man, I don't like that either. Yeah. And I don't like that you're just so easily able to be found. And like contacted, and I was talking to my buddy Alex the other day. Like, I really something's going on with me where I just don't have patience anymore for people. And sometimes this does happen; it goes in waves. Like, okay, but like even like the other day, I'm just sitting at the gas station trying to get a coffee, and there's like five people in front of me, and it's like they're all buying one item things. Just the cashier is taking like 3 minutes per customer. All of a sudden, I'm like standing there halfway done with my coffee. Like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. Because I was actually on my way to play soccer last night when this happened. I'll talk about that in a second. But I just get so sick of people and my patience is like, I am the worst person to bring like shopping or to bring to the mall or to wait in lines. Like, I so bad want to, like, go to Great Adventure and ride all the roller coasters that I haven't been on in 10 years. But I hate lines.
Yeah. I'm actually going to take a day off, like, in the middle of the week in May before all the kids get out. And I'm going to do that with the girlfriend.
Oh, see, I thought you would take the most crowded day with the most kids. Put the Dahmer glasses on.
You know, this family has 8 kids. They won't miss one of them.
Looking at the
sir, you've been in Bugs Bunny Land for the last 7 hours. I'm looking for something to ride.
You're just looking for the caravans with all the stickers on the back. The ones
take one off. No, the numbers come up right.
Sitting there with the scraper, the scraper, and a hair dryer to try to get it off.
It's so adorable when I murder, I notice.
You're an adorable killer.
Yeah. They scream and then they go, aww.
So I played soccer last night.
Okay.
And I am in nowhere near soccer shape. It's just like when you stop playing, stuff like that. I mean, I coach it, but if I play, it's like I stand still and kick balls to people. But to play and to get physical and so I'm exhausted and whatever. Like we had a lot of subs. We were terrible, but we only lost 2-1. But we missed like 17 open shots. But anyway, I go to I was always a very aggressive defensive player. That was like my key. I was never a very offensive player. Very defensive, very good at defending and heading and clearing balls. I had height and stuff like that. But so I'm on this run. I'm going. It's 5-on-5 with a goalie. So 6-on-6 really. Small field, indoor field, and I'm on this run up the field, and The guy, like, I lose the ball. I lose it off a dribble. And we play this foreign team, probably Eastern European guys, something like that.
Oh, they get my comedy.
Yeah. One guy had a Michael Berlew shirt on.
You know the Berlews. Oh,
that's a whole other story in a minute. I'm dribbling up, and as I'm, like, I lose the ball, he gets the ball. He turns his back, so now his back is towards me, and he's dribbling with the ball. And he starts going, whoa, 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 easy, 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 as I'm pursuing him, like, trying to come get the ball back. Mm-hmm. I'm like, screw you, I'm coming to get the ball, and, like, we're going to hit each other. Like, it's a game, it's a sport in the end where, yes, we are going to bump into each other. And we're shoulder to shoulder, and I kind of, like, foul him a little bit, and ref blows the whistle. I start walking away, and he's like, "Hey, my God, F you, F you, F you." I'm like, screw you. I'm too old for that. I'm like, F you, motherfucker. Like, screw you. Like, no way. Like, it's a game, man. Yeah. You're going to have some pushing and shit. Like, you're going to be bumped. And then, like, he's like cursing, you know, like that crazy Eastern European flip out. And then I just sit there and I decide to start blowing him kisses.
I have exactly the same story. With the quote-unquote C3I IT soccer team. So we're down like 16-2. And it just, you're just waiting for the time to go off. But it's like, they just like, all right, everybody on defense, I'm the same thing. I usually say in a bed, you're like, no, go up. Let's try to make it a 13-goal game. And there was a scenario where, you know, they're kind of close to the goal and the ball got loose kind of middle coming to the other direction. So it's one guy on their team, he's like a pudgy Asian guy, and me. And basically, if he gets the ball, he's just going to sprint away. And
what's great is I'm like trying to write the IT cup, like, but like, you just describing it, it's like, God, it makes so much more sense that you've actually lived this thing. Yeah.
But it's kind of the same situation. The ball was in the middle of the two of us. We both ran for the ball. I went straight for the ball, kind of kicked it away. The two of us collide. I wasn't even, like, going my full speed, but he just, like, face-planted right to the ground after hitting me. And, like, the ref came over. He gave me a yellow card. I'm like, I don't know what you want.
Wow,
I
could have done. They have, like, actual refs and stuff.
Yeah, it's a league, so. And then, like, the guy's, like, he's talking smack to me.
You think the refs are ever like, oh, God. I got to go to that IT game tonight.
They just get out their cell phones like, yep, goal.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay in the center. Pass me the ball after you score your next goal.
The ref's in the car, like, like before the game, head in hands, like, where did my life go? Where did my life turn that I am now doing this for
this
a living?
This game is 90 minutes long, and somehow they make it 160 minutes.
The score is going to be 23-4. And I lost my family, I lost my job, and now I'm reffing IT soccer teams.
Babe, these games are only supposed to last a certain amount of time. I can't help it. But like I said, we head on collide, and you know, I put out my hand to help him out, and he's like cursing me out, and he's like, I dare you to do it there again. I'm like, I didn't put any effort into that kid, so if you want me to go full swing, let's go.
Yep.
And that little bitch didn't say another word the rest of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I played soccer all my life, so I know. First off, like, the Spanish guys I used to play with, the adult leagues, they used to be always want to fight. All they wanted to do was fight. Diving. Every time one of the players went down, all seven of them are on you. Now, I'm 6'3", 6'4", so, like, five foot four guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, yeah, maybe they're intimidating groups. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know, like, you got to have some confidence. But I've seen it all, man. All that. It's funny how, like, different ethnicities definitely play a different style. Like, they're used to different things. Diving. Like, even in, like, these crappy over 30 shitty men's leagues, you still get the same kind of behavior. But I got to get into soccer shape, man.
Mm.
Shape in general would be nice. Like, ditto, you know, here. I'm trying. I always, like, stay okay, but, like, now I'm, like, since I'm living here, like, there's always food.
Yeah.
Like, I was living on my own, I was probably, like, eating, like, crumbs under the couch. The divorce was the best thing for me losing weight, man. I was so slim.
Why'd you get all the weight? Because I lost all that weight.
I was so slim when I was alone in misery. Where my dinner was beer. But anyway, so Berlew, the other day we were, we're getting close to the end here, but we took a trip down the Tired Hand Brewery in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, right by Villanova.
Yeah, great place, great beer, great food.
Unbelievable. Yeah. We ended up stopping at four breweries on the way home. Great
every single time. All right, one. Hey, this one's only 4 miles away.
It was funny because like they were 4 miles away, but it was like almost like if you did 4 miles on a horizontal line.
Exactly.
So like we would be like, let's work our way back towards it. No big deal. We were always like an hour and 20 minutes away. Like it was like we just kind of like went on one line, dot, dot, dot. Great time.
Yep.
But Tired Hands, we are not sponsored by them. So don't worry.
Yeah.
Unbelievable beer. Like every beer was like different. Amazing. The food was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we have a great time. But
it's just a problem finding since there's 12 streets named Grasshopper in this city for some reason.
Cricket Lane or
Cricket,
something.
Cricket, there you go.
Cricket Lane, Cricket Boulevard, Cricket Avenue.
East Cricket Lane.
But so we're on the way back. We're driving to the thing, and you go to connect your Bluetooth.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Now, you have been pushing this agenda, and it is an agenda, whether you like it or not. For people to, you're trying to get this nickname to stick, the Burls.
Yeah, that was one created by a friend at work named Lou. It's kind of like everywhere I go, God knows why, people initially just call me Berlew. I don't announce it. Yeah, call me by my last name, but everybody
I have
loves
a big
Berlew.
Brennan, like almost all my friends, especially on one group of friends, is all Brennan. I don't think I've been called Scott in years.
Yeah, pretty much outside of my girlfriend, nobody calls me Michael or Mike.
Yeah, I just call you Jeffrey. Yeah. But
but yeah, so, and then just one day, they're just, it's Berlew. It's the Burls, and it kind of stuck at work, so that's kind of why. Mm-hmm.
So you're the Burls at work?
Yeah.
Like people actually say, hey, the
my
Burls
buddy Warren
here.
Calls me Burls Whirls.
Burls Whirls. So
technically, I didn't come up with this stuff. I just kind of went with it.
He's really going with it. Like he's like very close to printing out T-shirts. And but anyway, so he has the Burls online.
The Burls 721.
And like, there's been several times where he'll be like, I'm the Burls. I'm the Burls. Like you throw it in there subtly. Like I don't get what you're trying to do. Like you'll be like, the Burls does this. The Burls does that. Like I see that you're trying to get me to call you the Burls.
T-Bone.
Now, exactly like the Costanza episode. You're trying to get... I'm T-Bone. The jerk store ran it. But I will never... I will vow to you, my loyal audience, I will never call this man the Burls as long as I am alive. Unless I'm like senile and I'm like, the Burls, I remember you. But
when you have Alzheimer's at 89, I'm going to be so happy. Yes! He finally did it!
He finally has Alzheimer's? Thanks, Berlew. But this is not what I'm trying to...
Yeah.
The story, you go to connect your Bluetooth. I don't think you meant it, did you?
I didn't. I wasn't trying to connect my Bluetooth. Like I think we're trying to find somewhere, and like my hand came out the steering wheel, and it was pressing, I think, the Bluetooth button or something to that equivalent.
Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I hear over the speakers, it goes, boop, boop, the Burls, in Mike's voice,
the Burls,
is connected. And I just, and you can feel this like 3-4 seconds of awkward silence. Like, like you definitely were like, gulp.
Yeah.
It was man.
Oh, fuck. Maybe like, if I keep on looking at the road, nothing will happen.
This is like that joke I have in my set, like about the kid farting in class. And then like lately, I've been adding a tagline, like, when someone farts in class, all of a sudden they become real focused on the math problem they're doing. You were all of a sudden real. You were 10-6 at the wheel.
4.2 miles. Let's go.
Oh, very interesting. Then this town of Pennsylvania was established in 1774. Like, I'm like, did that just say the Burls in your voice? So, which means that your phone is connected as the Burls.
Yeah. It's one of those I didn't think it would ever be heard again. So it's like
it's like your voice is in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like say a name or something. The Burls.
Well, people, I am starting the anti the Burroughs campaign to make sure no one ever calls him the Burroughs.
But I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/TheBurroughs721. That's me.
Oh. So, anyway, that was freaking hilarious. We were crying for like 25 minutes. Probably because we've been to three breweries before that, but it was like the funniest thing imaginable. All right, guys. We're going to wrap this up here. We're going to get to the end. Unless you got anything else, Berlew. Anything else planned?
No.
All right. Anything to promote Mike Berlew?
Other than the Burroughs 721. I will promote one of our guests who was on the show from Comedy Wire, comedywire.com. If you're a comedian, like to kind of get your comedian juices flowing.
I love it.
They are original stuff or commenting on crazy stories.
Love it.
ComedyWire.com. I got my first two badges today.
There you go, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes slightly addicting, but then you also get this weird feeling like when you're like busy at work. Like, oh shit, I can't. I'm not connected. And like if you get a new topic and you haven't, there's like 30 comments. You're like, damn it, I'm never gonna be seen.
Exactly.
Like, even if it's funny, but it is a great site, especially like I was telling you, just to get that. That little bit of mojo going, like, hey, I'm running a punchline today. Maybe I didn't write a new bit, but hey, I wrote like three or four punchlines to the story or something like that. It is a type of comedian. It is that muscle looking for a joke, looking for something original that someone else won't say.
Yeah.
So I agree with that with the comedywire.com. Berlew, are you going to be in it? You got something? Well, that's this weekend, so it won't be aired, right?
Yeah. I know I'm doing the 8-minute dating in Little Ferry. That's Dave Durkin's room. Believe that's June 4th. Yeah, June 4th. So that's a Saturday in Little Ferry, New Jersey.
All right. And I got a couple things here. Well, I'm going to just promote next Thursday. Thursday I should have, what's strange because I'm never in the city that much, but I should have two shows in New York City. So if there's anybody that is friends with that lives in the city, I have a 7 o'clock show at the Broadway Comedy Club with our good friend AJ Mattioli.
Oh.
She's doing a fundraiser to try to get money for one. He lost his camera; it was stolen, and they're trying to get money for their film they're putting out. So there, and Dave Ippolito is closing out the show. So that's two people who have been on the podcast. Mm. So that's great to promote. And then later I'm going over to the Comedy Loft, which is right by Penn Station, at 8 o'clock. So it just randomly worked out that there was two things I could do. But in Verbal Shenanigans land, we need to sell some tickets for the 22nd, Sunday the 22nd in Dover. Kevin Israel, Ken Krantz, KP Burke, okay? Come on out. It's $35 for dinner on a Sunday night. Really funny show. They've been great shows so far, so we'd like to keep that going. A little charity aspect to it and whatnot. And then June 16th is the next Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Trivia Night at Hoover's in Morris Plains. So we'll put more of that on the site. Guys, please keep subscribing on iTunes and doing all that great stuff you guys already do. Whoa, that's loud.
What?
But anyways, that is the end of the show. Keep the wind at your back. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Oh, leave us a review on iTunes, too. That's really good.
Yeah, when you leave the review, say, the Burroughs was really funny, you know?
The Burroughs told me I could do this. So, Captain Wild Bill.
Great interview.
Bye, people.